Let's get this thing rolling. Let's fire it off. Let's figure out if everything works.
Live from the No One Wants to Sponsor This Show studio, it's the Brian Mood Show.
What's going on, y'all? Thank you for hanging out on the Brian Mood Show. Today, as you can hear, I am hosting the pep rally at the Newton County STEAM Academy in Covington, Georgia. It is absolutely awesome. These kids are wild. I gotta judge the spirit off. I'll let you know how that goes shortly. This episode's gonna be awesome today. Really excited. Got to sit down with a good friend of mine, Dobby Crimmins, and we just told some funny stories about stand-up comedy. And then I also found, like, the first podcast I taped with Otis and Kimmy when we were starting Moot, Kimmy, and Otis on the Bull. We never aired it, just some audio that we taped, kind of just getting to know each other. Super fun as well. So I'm excited for this episode. I think you're gonna love it. And stay tuned. I will let you know who won the coveted spirit stick here at Newton County STEAM. And again, thank you guys so much for hanging out, supporting, rating, and reviewing the podcast. Also, stay tuned. We are gonna be doing something really, really cool with Integrity Dental Services and Confident. Getting a smile makeover and also helping some folks get some more confidence by straightening teeth, because they're just two companies that are awesome. They support what I'm trying to do, doing things on the independent side of things. All right, guys, I got to get ready to go. I got about 100 kids' names to read from different sports, and they have a fog machine. They have a fog machine here as well. So the stakes are high for me, guys. Pray I don't butcher about a million names to get laughed at.
People have asked me about you in comedy. I'm like, the one thing I've always respected and loved about Davi's stand-up is that she has, like, zero fear. Like, yeah. I mean, you might have it on the inside,
I
like nerves.
I do now. I didn't before, but you're right.
You know what I mean? Well, don't lose that. Yeah. 15 years ago, you would punch you right in
exactly.
the face for that.
Damn it.
But you have this, like, creative spirit where the shows I've done with you reminds me, like, damn it, man, take more risks.
Yeah.
Do more creative stuff. And I think, you know, Blair probably helps out in that world because that dude is a creative fountain.
He helps me go, this isn't who you're trying to make this safe for radio, mm-hmm. but you need to just make it
just
safe for you. Just
yeah.
do you. You know, he's really good at reminding me to get back to where I was. So I'm regressing. I know that they would probably say that's bad. No, it's good.
You can never question yourself with those things. Like, I look back sometimes in my career in entertainment, and sometimes I wonder if I've just made terrible decisions at the wrong time. And one of them was I was doing the first or second Johnny Carson Comedy Festival in Norfolk, Nebraska. And this is like 2012.
Nebraska.
Yeah. And at the time, I don't know, I just was in this weird headspace where, like, I just wanted to do really weird stuff right out the gates on shows. So I'm in this theater. It's the finals of this thing, right? So, like, someone's going to win, like, $5,000 or whatever. And there's, like, TV scouts there and stuff. And I did, like, the most... what I thought was the funniest thing I could do. I walked out on stage and I just started clapping above my head. And I started going, just clapping above my head to everybody. And
didn't
the whole crowd,
yet.
I didn't say anything. And the whole crowd started clapping above their heads too. And I was like, yeah, come on. Let's go. Let's all make this mistake together. And then they started laughing. I was like, yeah, that's called team building. That's how you start a show. And I was like, just went into my set. And the set killed it. But someone was like, that was super weird what you did. And
yeah.
I was like, yeah, I know, right? It's super great, though, right? I just went out there and just started clapping. They all started doing it because they'll do whatever you do.
That's
true. It was like an elementary school, like, assembly where I was just getting people to clap.
Yeah.
Or, like, you know, when you're a little kid and they put up, like, two fingers and everyone just starts, oh, everyone's got to be quiet now.
The quiet mouse was.
Yeah,
quiet
exactly.
Mouse.
Every school has a different hand gesture. You got to be careful on those.
Yeah.
But every school's got a different one. Which one do you do? I think one time I had a DJ, I think we were doing the shocker at one point.
Oh,
in time.
My God. Like, no one told her.
Like, I got a music teacher who was like, all right, everybody. She's like, three fingers up. And we're like, no, not those ones. The other three.
This is how we play French horn.
Like, yeah. Like, sorry. Her, just for the pinky is so
different.
Much more active. And I remember doing that. And then I didn't win. And then someone was like, mentioned it was weird. And then, like, on the way home, a couple comics who were like the comics who you maybe rethink their compliments, where they're like, yeah, man, that was so funny. And you're like, do you mean that, or do you mean, like, thanks for doing something super weird?
So I could, yeah.
Because it was like, he goes, yeah, and it was interesting, man. It was super funny, but also, like, the festival was, like, in honor of Johnny Carson. So, like, would you, like, the whole backdrop was Johnny Carson's old, like, his legitimate desk, the curtains,
yeah,
in this, like, 500 seat theater. And, like, you were supposed to kind of go out there and do your Tonight Show set. And I was like, yeah, that's what I did. Yeah. Like, I literally would have done that
but
in the Tonight Show.
But you started it a little different. Yeah. I don't know. Sometimes you just
I could have thrown
out.
Up the shocker, you guys. Would have been so much weirder.
Well, you're like, I have that perfect, you know, 5 to 10 minutes. And then sometimes you walk out. And it's just like based off the last few things that comics said before you think of something new to say. When I did the New Year's Eve Day show with you and Rondell, he was hosting and he kept coming out and talking about only dating white women, only dating white women. Yeah. And I think the girl that went on right before me was talking about like loving on white women or something. And then I came out and that was new for me. Like generally it's like... fucking Karens, you know, like white women. What? And I just walked out and I was like, there's a lot of love for white women tonight. That's,
yeah, man.
That's
white
cool.
ladies getting their moment, huh?
Like everybody busted out laughing. I was like, I don't know why I said that. I'm sorry. But everybody was like, you're right. It's like white women don't get a lot of love these days. And
that's
I was
so
like,
funny.
I like that.
We're getting trashed forever.
It's not bad.
It is funny. That's another thing that I've done before that I didn't realize some people take it poorly. So when I was in Boston doing stand-up, when I was going to grad school, getting my master's in social work, it was just kind of how you hosted a show.
Mm.
Like you just would go up and you'd kind of like rip on some premise that someone had that you thought was like a little bit pedestrian or whatever. Maybe it's super funny, but you want to like argue the other angle, which is generally what it was. Usually I'm going to take the exact opposite side of that last bit and just get up there and do that thing. And so in Boston, I was doing that. Then I was in LA once and I was doing a hosting at the Improv, Hollywood Improv. And, a guy I've known forever, he actually grew up in Seattle, Adam Ray. He's hilarious. He does like a Dr. Phil impression, Dr. Phil Live.
Wait, I think I've seen him.
You've seen him
on
Instagram now for sure, TikTok, yeah. And he's a guy that I started stand up with, and he had this kind of absurd joke about when he was a playground monitor once, like, you know, volunteering at a school, and a kid wanted to dig to China.
Yeah.
And he was like, but in the bit, he's like swearing at the kid. He's like, all right, kid, I'll fucking show you how to dig to China. Get a fucking shovel. And he's doing all this, but like not acknowledging the fact that like he's just being. So I got on stage and I was like, the part I love about that joke of Adams is that when he gets onto the playground, he's like a 1980s mafia gang member. Get a fucking shovel, guy.
Fucking shovel.
Get your fucking shovel. It's like,
why are you being
is
a
this
punk
kid?
Ass?
Yeah, I'm like, is this kid digging to China or digging his own graveyard in like a desert in Vegas, like on Casino?
Gonna make you sleep with the fishes.
Yeah, and the crowd starts laughing because I'm like, yeah, I just love that. But man, it makes me laugh. And I got off the stage and I was like, hey, man, I got a question for you. Do you have a problem with me? And I'm like,
oh,
what?
Oh, man, come on.
I was like, Adam, I've known
That's
you for like
worst.
15 years. I've known you for like a decade, man. He goes, well, I mean, I just noticed this. Every time you host a show, and, you know, at the time I had a couple shows like weird open mics that I hosted, like, you know, Westwood out near UCLA. He's like, you always seem to kind of rip on people after the joke. And I'm like, yeah, man, that's like how you host. He's like, it's not how you do it out here, man. Here you just like pump them up and you bring up the next comic. I'm like, oh, sorry, man. I mean, I've been in Boston for the last 5 years. And in Boston, you find something funny. And look, also, you can take that and add it to your – look, I'm not saying add anything, but I'm saying sometimes people tag your stuff as an MC and you like see new angles. Like, why are you yelling at this guy?
Yeah.
You're yelling at an 8-year-old right now. You're screaming at him to grab a shovel.
And doing a callback to your joke is not, it's not roasting you.
No.
It's still a layup and it's reminding people, like, don't forget that guy made you laugh, in my opinion. Because I've hosted a lot of shows where I would just be, after each comedian, I would have, like, another, you know, paragraph or two of a joke for myself before I introduce the next person. And it felt clunky. Like, I would go up there and I'd be like, thanks, Adam. And then I would do my joke and then be like, here's Dedrick, you know, and it felt clunky. So like, I think it's more of a compliment.
Yeah, you're
to
in the
reference.
Moment as a crowd member. You're kind of like, you're just going with it.
Like, I'm referencing the person you just saw, so they know I was listening, and you know I was listening, and I'm present, and it reminds, like, it's a callback to him, so he stays fresh in your mind, and then you remind them of their their name, then you do your own joke, and then you introduce the next guy. And it, yeah, I would hate it if somebody was taking it personally, because that's kind of what you're supposed to do. It's a better flow.
Sometimes, like, the energy between comics is so funny. I remember this from Boston.
We're very sensitive people, so it's hard to, yeah.
But sometimes you want the host to, like, kill a little time. The hardest I've ever eaten it in my entire life, it, like, just on a show in terms of, like, the crowd was great. I had literally had to tell the crowd that I also thought that guy was super funny. Like, so what happened was his good friend of mine, his name's Tom Dustin, and he's a road comic in Florida now, but he used to be in Massachusetts, and he's got a really hard Massachusetts accent. And he was closing on this bit at the Rhode Island Catch a Rising Star, which is like a club that's way...
That sounds adorable.
Yeah, right? It's like an 80s club. It's called Catch a Rising Star, and it's got like almost like the More You Should Know thing.
Yeah. Okay, that is exactly what I pictured.
Yeah, it's how you would design it if it is. Catch a Rising Star. And it was in Providence, Rhode Island.
But it sounds like one of those YouTube channels where people would have like set up in their basement with lattice and plants and stuff, and then they would have kids like tap dance, and
we're
it'd be like
a rising
Catch
star
a Rising
today.
Star. Welcome
Guys,
back to Catch a Rising
thanks
Star.
Thanks for tuning in today. We're going to Catch a Rising Star.
This is Brittany.
Make sure you want to follow her.
She's going to do a little sparkle tap dance for you.
Third grader at Westwood Elementary School.
Go on, honey, get it.
Her favorite food: peanut butter and jelly. Okay. So he goes up and he's closing on this bit. I'm right after him. It's like this show they called like the Best of Boston Showcase or whatever. And they're going to give someone $100. Again, it's another contest. So everyone's throwing fastballs or whatever. Mm-hmm. And Tom is closing on this bit about the rabbit, like the sex toy.
Yes.
And he's like,
The rabbit.
So he's like, but he's doing it. So he's like, my girlfriend was talking about the rabbit. And the rabbit's like, it's got like the dildo part. It's got this little part that comes up.
And then the
wing. It vibrates.
It
vibrates, yeah, like little ears, but it's like it's only got one ear, like got caught in a trap. And he goes, now the problem with the rabbit when you use it is when you insert the rabbit, the earpiece tickles your balls. And then the crowd loses it because they think they're talking about him using it on his girlfriend, and he's talking about using it on himself.
It's like the problem with it is this.
And you insert it, the little ear tickles your balls.
And then I had to call my girlfriend and be like, is this normal?
Yeah.
She wasn't even
I think
in
the I'm
room.
Doing this wrong, to be honest. I don't know how. How does it work? She told me it's a great sex toy.
She's like, I'm at work. What the fuck are you doing?
And the crowd was dying. Like, they were laughing so hard. And the host comes up and he goes, that's Tom Dustin, everybody. Next up, Brian Moot. And I come up and they're still laughing and they're talking. And then they're explaining it. Like, they're laughing and explaining to each other.
Because like, no, someone's like, I don't get it. Wait, what happens?
And he put it in his own butt. And I go to them and I start to launch into my opening bit because I'm just trying to like be, just do contest guy, Brian. Do your 5 minutes.
Yep.
And I go up there and I'm like, yeah, it's funny, right? Tom's so good. He's probably going to win this. To be honest, I'm not. There's no way I'm winning this after that one. But yeah, what he's saying is, and oh, you don't get it? I was going to say, it was when you put the dildo part in, you're supposed to not put it in yourself as a dude. It's not designed for you. But the little rabbit ear will tickle your balls, is what he was trying to say, because that's the part that vibrates. So
yeah. Sometimes you got to explain the joke.
But I was explaining his, and then I was like, oh, I got 2 minutes left, so let me... Okay, I got something.
Now what can I say to you?
Okay, basically vote for Tom. everyone's going to vote on... Go ahead and circle it right now. For most of you guys, go ahead and circle Tom Dustin right there because that was absurd. And that said, you know what? I think that's good. Thank you.
It's tough to navigate. And then sometimes, you're like, I know I've been bested. Like, I know that person absolutely crushed. And I'm just kind of here to give you 5 minutes for you to catch your breath. From how fucking funny that last guy was. Well, another part of being on your own and being outside of radio is you got to stay on trend, right? Mm-hmm. So you're going to be working on your own brand, but you want to find ways to stick in those hashtags and keep up with trends. And so what are your favorite trends right now? And what's been, creeping on your For You page these days? What's your favorite thing that you've been, or the weirdest thing that you've seen on your For You page?
Oh, my For You page. The weirdest thing is the other radio shows I've worked on.
Oh, that's odd.
That's super weird.
Okay.
Right? A lot of them. I don't know why.
That's just
that.
A cruel For out You page. Blue. You need to start holding your thumb down saying, not interested. Get those out of there.
For a long time, and by the way, I hate the Instagram For You. It can run wild in your algorithm. And like, I'll hit like the search button and it'll be like, here's a bunch of boobs. And I'm like, Jess, I'm not, like, it's not what I'm doing.
You're doing something.
I don't know what I'm doing, but I don't know if I'm talking. I don't know. Or like
sometimes it's listening to it because I look at my Instagram for
or maybe
page.
Someone listens and be like, Brian, you're looking at boobs. Yeah. I don't. Okay, maybe once. Maybe I don't look at anything.
Maybe I lingered too long.
A lot of slam dunks. I don't know. A lot of dunks and a lot of dirt bike jumps. Like just weird. For some reason, I'm fascinated by skateboarding again.
Okay.
Just because it's just it's crazy. There's this guy I follow that has no legs, and he just goes and with his arms goes off ramps and flips the board with his hands.
Nice.
And sits on it as it goes down railings.
So a new trend, my favorite new trend right now is all men have a hot dog yell. Have you seen this yet?
A hot dog yell?
Yes. It's if you were at a game and you had to sell a hot dog, how would you
sell it or buy one?
You're selling it.
Oh.
All men and women are just going, what's your hot dog yell? And their boyfriends are like, and then they have one. And they're just I've literally never thought of it.
Hot dog, yeah.
Yeah.
You got to say it like.
But people have clever ones and you're an old timey one, but some people are
you got like one of those paper hats on?
Yes.
Cowboy, yeah.
Got your hot dogs.
Yep.
Hot dogs.
You don't actually say words.
It's all one word.
Hot dog, yeah.
No, the less enunciation.
To be fair, you're holding the hot dog above your head and you're walking around with a giant stupid tray.
Yeah.
And you're wearing a shirt that says you're selling stuff with a button that has the price on it. So if people were like, hey, what are you selling? I'd be like, hot dogs. Yeah. Why are you asking this? Nothing.
What the fuck this is.
You're not responding. You're not allowed to have a hot dog.
Where are you from? No. You were grown up in some kind of different planet. See, that's my favorite trend right now that I've seen. And I was like, I bet Brian has a good hot dog yell. And that's the only. There's a lot of other stuff on my For You page that's weird. Right now,
hot
I'm getting
dogs,
a lot of.
Get your hot dogs.
That's really
You got to do it in the New York. Hot dogs. Here, get your hot dogs.
And then people would say, where are you from?
You'd be like, Seattle. That's my hot dog yell. That's a funny one because I don't think I'd be able to be like, hey, everyone. Excuse me. Section 242. Thank you. Just going to be a quick minute here. I know that. Game's going on, clearly. Yeah. We got a good one going here. Fifth inning. Okay, this is the last time in meter section, and I am selling hot dogs.
Yeah.
So, nope. If you need one, just give me show of hands.
You're going to explain the whole thing. That's very
show
polite.
Of hands, everybody.
Excuse me. Would you like a hot dog?
Who would like a hot dog? And I also sell peanuts.
Peanuts.
You can't say peanuts. You say it too much. It sounds like you're selling peanuts. Peanuts, are you?
I can say peanuts. Hot dogs, yeah, with no enunciation. But when I say peanuts, I'm going to hit that.
I got peanuts.
And in that T.
Hot peanuts.
Hard.
Gotcha. Ball peanuts.
Oh, ball peanuts. Ew, that sounds terrible. Yeah, my For You page is giving me a lot of horse mani-pedis right now.
Is that on TikTok or on Instagram?
That's on TikTok. So they're also you really like seeing cow. I don't know what it's called, but when cows get really gassy, they have to
puncture
stab
side.
A straw into them and let the farts out.
Yeah.
And my For You page is like, you like that? Here's some more. Stop it. Yeah. But I keep lingering.
I think
watching.
One time I watched an ingrown toenail video, and
that's
I was like, knock it off, dude.
So many
knock
ingrown
it off.
Toenails.
And also, what tool is that you're using?
Oh,
it
my
looks
God.
Like a weird knife.
And I'll watch the full fucking thing.
And I also think to myself,
that's why
how did
I
you
get more?
How did you let it get this bad? I'm way too picky of a person. Physically picky. If my toe got
they probably picked at it and made it worse.
But I would get in there with I'm a dude, so I'd probably find the sharpest kitchen knife we had, and my wife's not home, and I'm like,
you'd have a screwdriver,
I'd unplug the baby cam just so she can't hear noises of me yelping when I'm trying to fix it.
Yep.
See, if when I was growing up, we had to I had to help out veterinarians. When a horse would colic or we had cattle, and they put on the whole sleeve glove they shove their hands down their entire rectal cat and just start pulling poop out.
Oh my God.
Which
I feel like
puncturing the stomach is.
That feels easier.
Yeah, it feels like, why don't you just shove your hand up there?
And then the
pull out the fart.
pull it out.
Show it the way.
Because you don't want to be on the receiving end of it. It's like they stab the straw and then they run away. And then the cow looks so happy. Like the cow's
oh my God,
that's
I feel
much better.
Well, have you ever had a giant fart?
Yeah.
And you feel so much. You're
I was
like,
so full
oh
of
my
toots.
God, I feel terrible. And then you. have like a giant like fart that comes from your chest. It feels like
that's why and you, these like, are on I my feel for like you
I
could page.
Float now.
Yeah, I keep watching them and then going, oh, I know what that feels like. Yeah. He must be so happy right now.
My brother Patrick Moot, who is hilarious, and he is a weird wonder of just physical ailments.
He is. Oh, he's been through some real colon shit, cancer, and he's been through some silly shit.
He didn't poop for 2 weeks, and that was because he had colon cancer. And so that was a bad thing. If you're listening and you haven't pooped for 2 weeks, probably colon cancer. Also, hemorrhoids, if you're under the age of 40, hemorrhoids are a sign of early onset, early stage of colon cancer.
He had whole bits, like when we went to a few different, we toured a few different, and he was hosting, and he had whole bits about his hemorrhoids.
Oh, yeah.
And all these jokes about it.
Yeah,
and,
jokes on
you know,
him.
Like, yeah, in 6 years' time, they really
got
like
him
jokes
there.
On you. Yeah.
The other thing, too, he gets like these weird cysts. Like these cysts. So when I see these.
Anywhere?
Usually like on a shoulder or back, sometimes in his neck. And we'll have to get him like surgically, like surgically expressed, I guess.
Yeah.
Like, you know, the Dr. Pimple Popper kind of stuff.
Yes, I love that.
The size of a golf ball.
Does he film it?
He's kind of traumatized by it. But, and here's the thing. Whenever I see those things, I know the smell involved in those things.
Woof.
Is horrific. And we were on our way. So he gets these, and he'll tell me, he's like, dude, I'm getting a cyst. I'm like, he'll call him a bump. He goes, like, dude, I'm getting another bump on my back. And I'll be like, let me see. And he'll go, you can see through my shirt. And he'll pull his shirt. I'm like, oh my God, I could see like a big ball. And he had one that was probably the size of like a golf ball.
Damn.
And we were at Coachella, and he was like super depressed that he was going to have to go get this surgically like removed or like cut into it. And it's like, it's like 3 or 4 stitches in it and stuff.
Yeah.
And we leave Coachella, and we're driving, and all of a sudden he goes, oh my God, dude, I think this thing broke. And he goes, what? And he goes, pull over. We pull into this gas station, and he goes, what's on the back of my shirt? And it was just all blood and I go, no way. And he goes, it broke? And he was like excited.
Yeah.
So apparently
it
like boiled through because of the heat. And then he's like, hey, you got to push all of it out.
Whoa.
So then I had to do it.
You did it?
And I was like, we went to the CVS, got hydrogen peroxide and a bunch of bandages and stuff.
Oh, my God.
This is before his colon cancer, by the way.
You can add that to your resume,
and I was like pushing it out, and I was like trying not to gag because it is so gross. Like, on a video, you can watch those things, but when you up in person.
Yeah.
But he was so, he's like, oh, my God.
Even when I'm watching the videos, I can like. I have a taste in my mouth. Does that make sense? Like,
yeah.
I can't smell
you're not,
it,
like,
but I
and
have,
you're not
like...
breathing when you watch them either.
That's it.
And so finally, we got all clean out. We dumped it out. And I'm like, I need a minute. And he was like, he felt like the cow who got his tummy punctured and ran off.
Relieved.
He was like, I feel so relieved, dude. This is amazing. And I'm like, well, I mean, your shirt's trash. He's like, whatever. I don't care about that shirt. But I'm like, that's crazy. And he was like, oh, I'm just so grateful. I don't have to go to the doctor and get this thing cut out. And
I can lay flat on my back now.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's nice. There's no weird. Oh, my gosh. Well, I guess that's why. Because I love listening to these stories. My phone is listening to me right now. I'm definitely going to have a lot of.
Your For You is going to be nothing but like.
Pimple popping and ingrown toenails.
A lot of pus.
So many gassy cows.
Super gross.
I'm stoked.
It's the Mook, Kimmy, and Otis post-show podcast. Kimmy, we have so many stories to catch you up on right now.
Yeah.
Storyline, a big storyline this week. Otis, do you want the honors of explaining to her what's been going on this week in terms of you, an anniversary,
my wife almost writing divorce papers at some point, I think. Look at that
she
face. She knows.
No.
She already knows.
Well, yeah. What are we going to do? Kimmy, big story. Otis, over the top. It was obnoxious. I mean, that's not fun to talk about.
Yeah, I didn't forget, per se.
Okay.
I didn't get her anything, not even a card. And then she called me out for not even writing a Facebook post.
Yeah, I mean, that was...
So,
well, no, Kimmy...
You just didn't acknowledge it at all.
I acknowledged it because
where? If it's not on Facebook, it's not real, obviously.
Well, yeah, obviously.
That's exactly what Brittany said.
So what happened was the whole week before that, we were starting this new show. Things were crazy. Life was weird for all of us. The kids just got out of school. We didn't have time to breathe the whole week. Then we got into the weekend and it was baseball, 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 baseball. Her parents were in town. Monday comes. Anniversary, and it's like,
Otis,
she looks at
even
me.
The police in Kimmy's neighborhood in Hawaii are calling BS like, on your house of excuses. They're sending the excuse police after you right now.
Yeah, they're coming for you right now.
Is Dog the Bounty Hunter following them? Am I going to get put on my face by Dog?
Is he getting thrown in the back of the truck?
Probably.
But here's the great part about it, Kimmy, is that, yes, super busy. Otis, as you will meet him more and more, Brittany, their kids are amazing. They stopped by the studio today. Otis is like a little league dad, sports dad's going to be at every single game, is going to be out there. And we know everyone's busy. But the best part of the story is, in terms of Monday being like a day where like, hey, you forgot to get a card. Oh, we'll get to Otis's conspiracy theory that was debunked in a second. But Otis was texting me during the weekend because we were trying to get together and hang out. And I'm like, hey, well, what about Monday? And he's like, no plans Monday.
No plans. We should totally hook up.
Yeah. No plans on Monday is what he texts me.
Yeah, Monday came. She's like, did you even get me a card? Middle of the day, right? And I was like, not yet.
I mean,
did you get me a card? And she said, yeah. And I was like, okay. So discussion kind of went away. And then later she's like, what are we doing for dinner? I was like, well, I'll run to the store and get some stuff. What do we need? I'll go. I'll
run the store. Did you make reservations or anything?
I tried that too, but it was Memorial Day. Everybody was closed. I even had reservations, and she said, no, I can't do last minute. I don't have an outfit. I'm not doing all that. It's stressful. We're not doing it. So she shut down my reservation plans. Also shut down me going to the grocery store because she's like, no, I'll go to the store. I got things to get. I'm going to go to the store. I was shot down everywhere to save myself. All right?
To save yourself. Hold on.
Yeah,
how many years has this been?
Eight. It doesn't matter after a few, right?
I mean, it's like after your 21st birthday, do they really count until like 30, exactly, like 40? Yeah. Like the big dates. Who cares?
So there's that. However, I did have an ace card in my back pocket. And
wait.
We're not getting there yet?
Don't get there yet.
Okay, well, we'll tell you about the ace card in a second.
He's got one. I want to hear your opinion as a woman. If this pulls it out, because we won't know until tomorrow whether or not his ace in the sleeve redeemed him from this anniversary fail. But the best part, aside from just the lack of making it a special day, but acknowledging, but we're busy, was he was convinced that his wife went to the store just so she could get a card
and win. Yes.
And win this whole like who forgot the anniversary, who didn't get a card thing, and then on the radio, we have her, which is like the worst place to find out that your conspiracy theory is wrong. She's like, no, I had a card.
She even sent me the receipt.
Yeah, send him the receipt because he's like, I want a receipt. I don't believe you.
If she got it when she went to get the food, you would see it on the receipt, right?
Yeah. So. Yeah, she sent me one from a couple weeks ago.
You pay cash for something like that when you want to keep it off the books. Don't bring that up. I got that weeks ago.
I get it. I'm a giant D. I get it.
No paper into that. All right, so the ace in the sleeve. And you had this planned already, but it didn't come out yet. I had written this
on Saturday before the anniversary. I have a really good friend in country music in Nashville named Drew Baldridge. And I've never written her a song, but something was coming out of me. It was like, write this down.
So
I wrote a song for her.
And Kimmy, for those that are just listening and don't know Otis that well yet, like he's actually like a singer and like he's not just a dude who's like, you know what I'm gonna do today, man? I'm gonna write a song. Like you can sing. You'll hear him sing all the time.
I've done music my whole life.
When
yes.
he gets stressed out, he sings a lot.
I got music tattoos. I got Amazing Grace on my arm, a piano from my grandma over here. This is a whole big radio music tattoo. So music is my heart and soul. Yeah. I wrote this song. I've written songs in my life. I've never completed a whole song and had somebody record it. This was a first for me. And it was the first time I've ever done it for her. I didn't get the song back until Thursday. Wednesday. Yesterday. Whatever day it is.
Yeah. Not after. The important part is you didn't get the song back until after you didn't get her card.
After the anniversary. So I couldn't even save myself on that. It was an ultimate fail all the way around. But we're going to play the song for her tomorrow morning. Get her reaction.
Hasn't heard it yet?
I want to try to see if Otis can play it for you, Kimmy. Because, well, one, let me ask you this question. Do you think, just on paper, assuming that your guy is a musician, never written you a song, out of the blue, writes you a song for something?
Ace card, right?
It's pretty good, right?
I would say that's an ace card if you can pull it, especially if you get Drew Baldridge to record it for you and then send it back.
I mean, I got connections in a little bit.
You mean not if you pull out a song, you're like, I love you.
I love you and your sweetheart.
Sorry, that was it. I was pressed for time. Because you're right. If the song seems not well thought out, you're like, you didn't write that before Monday. You wrote that on your way to work on Monday.
The premise of the song, just so you know, is kind of our story.
I'm going to step outside while you do, because I want to have zero.
Okay.
I want to have zero background on the song tomorrow. I don't want to hear it till tomorrow because I want my genuine reaction to either be good or bad.
All right, he's going out.
I want to hear it. I want to know.
The general premise of the song is, and I always used to tell her that I always dreamed about having children. My son, my daughter, they were always in my dreams. It was something that it was always in my dreams. So the song premise is, it starts with me dreaming about my two little boys and my little girl and the woman that would create that dream. And then it progresses into her being in my world and her completing that dream. So
that's a really solid storyline.
Okay. Well,
the lyrics came through.
Well, here you go. Give me your honest opinion. Let me know if you can hear it, I hope. Here we go. It's called Always You.
Lie awake in my bed, thinking about all the dreams I had. Little boys, precious girl, hearing those tiny words say, Daddy. And I knew from the moment when we caught eyes and you walked in, it was you to make all my dreams come true. It was always quiet nights, laying here with your eyes closed tight. Ballparks and soccer fields, our baby girl dancing in the kitchen light. I knew from the moment when we caught eyes and you walked in, it was you to make all these dreams come true. It was always I awake in our bed, a soft kiss on your forehead, tears fall down, a little prayer. I thank him for all the plans that led to the moment when you walked in. We caught eyes, you were all I imagined. It was you to make all these dreams come true. It was always you. It was always you. It was always you. Baby, it's true. It was always you.
That's an ace card right there. That's good.
Thank you.
I would be crying. If a guy wrote that for me, I would be crying.
I have cried about 4 or 5 times just listening to it. Because,
oh, good God.
I didn't imagine
it. I've had anybody like do anything that romantic for me ever in my life. So thank you for making me feel worse about my single status. But,
hey, Kimmy, I've never done anything close to that romantic for anybody either. So I feel like we're in the same boat, but on different ends of it.
I just want to say,
have you forgotten an anniversary, though?
That's right.
No, but no.
He's only got like a 1.5.
Actually, you know what? We will talk to my wife very soon. I don't want to misrepresent any stories, but she's pretty convinced I forgot birthdays before. But I'm pretty sure I didn't forget birthdays, but I don't have the receipts on those things. So I guess that'll be an issue at a later date.
I'll say this. I didn't write the song for it to be a part of the show, but it has come to that because, you know, the story of me missing the anniversary and stuff all came to the show. So it was like I wanted to present what I really had planned that just kind of didn't come to fruition until late.
I mean, if you would have had the song done before your anniversary, you would have made it part of the show anyway, because that's incredible. I mean, I haven't heard it yet, but I could tell by, like, Kimmy, thoughts? Just a general overview?
It's really sweet because he includes things about their kids in addition to his dreams. So I don't know. I thought it was really romantic. It was really good. I'm impressed.
Thank you, Katy Perry.
I give you a pass for it being late, especially because you got it recorded. So you could just kind of blame it on that instead of like.
Yeah, I had to give him some time to like actually sit down with it. He was touring and stuff. And he's like, I'll try to see if I can sit down with it Monday. But I said, just get it to me by the end of the week. And
it's a lot of pressure you put on Drew, man. Yeah, well,
I mean, it was already written. It was already written, and I gave him the melody. He's like, how do you hear it? And so I kind of sang him like a voice memo. And he's like, I just kind of took that. He didn't change any of the words in it.
that would have been hilarious too, though.
He rewrote the whole thing.
He gets your song back and he's like, "Hey, brother, this one line was bad.
This whole thing was terrible. I went ahead and just rewrote." And
no offense, but I took out the stuff about your kids. And now I'm going to play this.
It makes no sense to our story. It's like somebody else's story. Yeah.
Oh, man, that's funny. All right. Well, I'll find out tomorrow in real time just how your wife reacted and how my critical music ear. I'm going to take it apart.
I think I saw a tear in Kimmy's eye while she listened. I don't know.
Yeah, there was a glimmer. There's a little glimmer.
A glimmer of romance isn't dead all the way.
You can picture this on The Bachelor and some guy pulling out his acoustic guitar.
It would never go like that on The Bachelor. Because one, the guy who pulls out the guitar on The Bachelor is always somebody who's like on the chopping block to go home.
Yeah, and
right?
there's no storyline because they've met each other 3 weeks ago.
He's got way too short shorts on. He wears a tank top and shaves his legs and has no socks on when he's doing. And definitely like some sort of necklace that's awkward. And then the worst part is that he'll interrupt a date someone's on, and it'll be the guy everyone likes. He'll interrupt that date and sit down. Yep. And then the song drags on for so long.
Way too long.
Yeah. That the other guys walked back to the group of people to be like, yo, you're never going to believe this. And then the dude was like, I'm not taking this, man. You can't infringe on our time.
You've got the whole scenario built there.
My wife makes me watch way too much of The Bachelor. So yeah, I already know how the whole thing goes down. And then he's going to be playing the guitar and he's going to screw up once and start over, which is going to be awkward. The Bachelorette's going to be like, oh my God, like this is super weird. I'm a hostage with this guitar.
Yep.
And then someone's going to walk up and he's going, yeah, bud. Okay.
Yeah.
Hey, bud.
I was doing a song, bud.
Need something? Oh, yeah. Like, you're just going to walk in the middle of my private show right now.
Have you never had a man write you a song or write a poem?
I had a guy in high school write me a poem, but his other behavior kind of canceled that.
Do you have that poem?
That same poem was probably given to like four other
girls. No. You do?
I do. It's back at my parents' house. I'll grab it when I'm in Chicago.
We need that poem.
We're going to need to read that poem.
Well, because I do think it's funny to laugh at the embarrassing things you did when you were a kid. I have a rap album I did when I was 16 or 17.
Where's that?
My brother's trying to get his hands on it. As we speak, he's trying to find it and track it down. It was so bad. I took myself so serious. Right. I was really trying to be profound as an MC.
I did a little rapping. I've been on a song or two.
Dude, every white guy has a rap phase.
I did it. There was I don't know if you remember the band Runner Runner. Random story. They're nobodies now, but great guys. They put this song together, and they're like, we kind of befriended each other when they came to Charlotte one time, and they were like, you think you could like do a little rap on this? Because they knew like I did some stuff. I was like, yeah, sure, why not? And I got with one of these rappers in Charlotte that I know. And he helped me like write this badass rap for this song. And the song never came out, but I've got a copy of it. And it's pretty awesome.
We need to hear that, too.
And then I also, I kind of did it on my own, but Jason Derulo's song, In My Head. In my head,
I see
you all over me.
Unnecessary that you sang. We knew what song you're talking about. Heavens to Betsy, what song are you talking about?
There's a dance break in there that just felt awkward to me, so I wrote a rap for that, and that's the version we played in Charlotte all the time.
No way. Do you get residuals?
The Ocho version. No, he wouldn't put it on the album. I asked him.
Absolute garbage.
Yeah.
All right, Kim, you have homework then. Find all the awkward things that would make artistic endeavors that either people have given to you or you've done yourself.
The paintings from second grade. Mm-hmm. We want to see those.
Like, yeah, or videos of like them. Dance, like a dance routine. Some we got to embarrass everybody. All right, before we let you go, because we know we are absorbing your time 6 hours in the past, right? Or no, in the future? The past, 6 hours in the past.
Yeah, we're so confused on what you
are. Hey, do you have any moving updates? Today we talked about, on the show, we talked about how you're just going to stick your stuff on the boat on the Amistad.
Yep.
We're going to see if it ever ends up back here on the Mayflower.
Christopher Columbus is bringing
exactly.
it over.
And we'll find out if you ever get your stuff back.
We know where he landed. We wasn't trying to go, so.
Right, exactly. So you're some remote desert island's going to end up getting all your furniture and your car.
Yeah, I think that's what's going to happen, honestly. No, it's a pro. So you guys have moved multiple states many times
yes.
before. So, you know, you know, when you just like spontaneously start crying when you're at that point moving, I'm like just before that point.
Yeah, like you're just at the end of the stress point. Yeah, I got you.
Yeah.
And I'm getting to the point where Otis was saying last, you know, oh, yeah, just get rid of everything. just throw it all away.
Nail your house shut and leave. Walk away.
I'm triaging my belongings at this point. It's like, okay, if this doesn't fit, it's not coming. It's just too bad.
Yep.
So that's definitely happening. I'm packing so hard I lost my nose stud. I don't actually know how it came out.
Just fell out of your face?
I don't know where it is. I can't find it. I've never had that happen before. I've had my nose pierced for like 3 or 4 years.
That's forever a donation to the carpet in that apartment.
Also, you were gonna lose it anyway once you hit the pollen season here in Georgia.
Yeah,
if you have allergies.
Absolutely.
I think it would have been a weapon, a liability in the studio.
Yeah, between you and Brian.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
I'm just finally coming back to normal where my nose isn't honking every time I blow it. So you're saran wrapping everything. How is do you have your pod full yet?
No, it arrives tomorrow.
Okay.
So I'm going to begin. I have 3 business days to get all my stuff in there and make sure that it fits. And I already look like a bruised banana. I don't know if you guys have this experience, but all the corners of these boxes, I swear, jump out at me. So I just have like bruises and cuts and little like dots and everything. And yeah, I don't know. It's kind of to the point where people ask me, like, how are things going?
Are you okay?
Yes, and they're like, are you okay? And I'm like, I'm telling you.
Is he hurting? Is he hurting you? Blink twice if he's hurting you.
Look, you can go. They're like, what's your safe word?
Right.
God.
No, I joke all the time because any kind of home project or any kind of moving that I've got to do, I'm bleeding before I leave Home Depot.
Moving hurt so bad this last time for me that. I mean, I had bruises from boxes everywhere, shins, hitting your shins. I also, from driving across, you know, from Dallas, Texas to Atlanta, Georgia, twice in like a span of 7 days, because I refuse to get out of the car, I ended up getting like a bruise where my rib cage like hits my abdomen, and it was like an internal bruise. And I thought I had to ask my doctor friend, and he goes, oh, you were sitting for hours. And I was like, yeah. He goes, no, that's your rib cage, like bruising your spleen.
That happens?
I ruptured my spleen. Yeah, if you sit for 12 hours at a time for 2 days in a row.
Okay.
So anyways.
All right.
There we go.
Well, best of luck with the move. It's going to go terrible.
Yeah, that would be great.
Can we get a moving expert to tell her how amazing this move on a boat is going to be?
Oh, yes. We're going to track down a boat captain.
Somebody that deals with boat logistics and see if we can't,
you know,
somehow find your stuff.
We're going to put an over-under up for people to bet on it, what day your stuff actually gets here.
Vegas bets, Vegas odds.
Raise some money while we do it. I can't imagine it. You know, the packing the loading up of the pod's going to be bad if you're already at the point where you look at your dishes and they have them in a box and you just want to cry and throw them on the floor.
Yeah, I might intentionally be breaking some stuff just so I'm like, oops, I guess I'm not breaking.
One less thing to bring.
That's not coming.
that's when you really know it's gotten bad, when you just start snapping stuff and you're like, whatever, dude, I don't even like that couch. And then later you'd be like, God, I'm so mad at myself for that.
Are you ready for 2 awesome brothers in your life?
I'm so excited to be there with you guys. So that's the one thing that's keeping me from completely breaking down in tears. So
we're going to be super protective. I don't know about Ryan, but I'm a crazy protective
brother. I'm going to write you a best friend song.
There you go.
For all of us.
You're my best friend. Yeah.
Hey, don't steal my lines, dude. Okay. That's exactly the melody.
That line has to be in there, I feel like, somewhere.
All right, Kimmy. Take care of yourself. Take deep breaths. And we will check in with you again to make sure everything's going fine. All right, just got back from Newton County STEAM Academy. What a really cool school out there in Covington. And what I love about it is that all the kids there, you have to apply to get in. It's a public school, but it has a kind of a private school model where you apply to get in and you have to maintain certain grades. But what I really loved about it is that parents are forced to do 20 hours of volunteer work at the school, which helps create that connection between parents and kids and making sure that parents are just as involved in their kids' academic successes as the teachers are. Super cool. Big shout out to Michelle, who brought me out there, and everyone I met there at the school. Really, really cool. Really cool place to go. And the pep rally was lit. And the eighth graders won the spirit stick. I know you guys were on the edge of your seat for that. And I didn't butcher any names and get laughed at. So that was big. I remember reading the names of kids when I was teaching that first day of class, and you never want to screw up a name and give a kid an unfortunate nickname, right? Like, you never want to have that happen. I remember for some reason in like first grade, some teacher goes, "Brian Moot," like with a question mark, and like a cow would say it. And then that became my name for like the entire year, was Moot. And it was like, why did you read it like that? You didn't have to read it so weird. But I do remember that when I was teaching, there'd be some names that I just came across where I just didn't want to butcher it in a way that sounded so weird that it gave a kid a nickname. So thank you so much for listening to the episode. Hit that number, 833-949-1880. Leave us a message Monday, just like the radio show I used to have. We're going to kick it off with the Struggle Bus. Want to hear what's got you struggling, good, bad, whatever happened over Easter weekend. Let us know. Good stories. My brother Patrick Moot is going to be co-hosting on Monday. I'll have my friend Jasmine Sadri, comedian and radio host, on the show next week. My friend Lindsay Cochran will be on the show next week. And never know, some other surprise guests. So hit that number, 833-949-1880. Just leave a message. Let me know what's on your mind. Anything. You got a question for the show. You got a topic you want us to cover. Doesn't matter. This show is all about y'all and what you want to hear. So thank you so much for listening. Love you.